Okay, kind of again, off again, on again thing with Revelation, but we're going through it. We left off, we were at the Church of Smyrna and talking a couple of weeks ago. No, last week we're coming into it. And it's a short letter, so I'd just like to read again just quickly to you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which are about you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit," capital S, the one at work. Not our spiritedness, not our ability to be excited or committed or anything else. Capital S, the work of the Holy Spirit, ongoing in our lives all the time. And by the way, that won't always make you laugh or joyful. That may at times make you cry. But he will be with you in those tears, conforming you into the image. God will be conforming you into the image of his Son through these things that you go through. Without him, all you'll experience is greater crushing, breaking, and disaster. With him, in spite of the disaster, he will put roots down in you like you've never had before. And you will grow into such a tree that many people will be able to take shelter underneath that tree that he grew. Not you. Him. So when you run out of all the strength you have, it's the end of yourself. It's not the ending of him. I like to say that the end of yourself is just the beginning of God. So those times may be terrifying. They are good times. The differing degrees of glory we experience as believers are not the results of our cranial activity, but a further Bible-based revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, of all that he is in, through, and in spite of us. The glory of God alive in our living. Jesus Christ, the glory of God alive in our menial, simple, maybe mundane to you, life. Whoa, that makes it more than we realize. More special. The simple things that we take for granted, we don't know the glorious things that God does. We trust God in spite of what we don't know. We no longer labor at repairing and maintaining the kingdom of self, but instead we live and die in and for the glory of God. We live in and die for the glory of God. Not maintaining the kingdom of self, making sure I'm always happy, I'm always peaceful, I'm always joyful. You can't live life like that. Life's too rough. He'll beat you up in a heartbeat with that surface kind of medicating. You need that deep down joy that will not be dispensed by a simple thing like death. However, sometimes in our desire for ease, we are quicker to take up our cause than our cross. It's kind of heavy looking. Probably get slivers if you try to carry that around. It's too hot out. It's going to be hot today. I want you to walk home and take that with you. Are you nuts? No. What's your cross? I can guarantee it looks something like that, or maybe even worse. Heavy sometimes. It's a little different each day. Do you ever find that kind of catches you off guard? When you say things like, I don't need this. Pick up your cross and follow me, he said. Where to? He didn't say where to. He just said, follow me. If you walk in the dust of his footsteps, you're sure to arrive where he's called you to. But you need to be that close. Then Jesus said to them in Revelation 2:9, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, though that's the mechanics of it. He's talking about something more. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. It's not about keeping the law and the rules and the regulations and all that stuff. It's about way more than that. Whose praise is not from men, but from God. We can gain a certain amount of peace by trying to please people all the time. And a certain amount of grief by not pleasing them. That's why we try to please them sometimes. But he says, you live for the praise of God, not people. When you're being swallowed alive by the opinions of people, try to realize, remind yourself, that you actually only have an audience of one. Just one. Everything else needs to be what it is. Just one. How did I do today, Lord? Have a nap. I'll catch you tomorrow. Sometimes he doesn't tell me because he knows it won't help. Sometimes, well done, good and faithful servant. So we've got all kinds of days that go on. But we have to stay focused on God, who is the one at work and doing a glorious work from the inside out. There were persons in the town of Smyrna, possibly even in the church, but were not of the church. They professed to be Jews, followers of God. But Jesus said they were of the synagogue of Satan. This is Jesus' judgment call. It's not something they even realized, I don't think, but he called it for what it was. He can do that. And so if he recognizes it as being that, all we can do is say, amen. Whatever that is, if he identifies it. His assessment of who they were was very pointed. But he had firsthand experience with people like this before. He'd been turned over to the Roman government for crucifixion. Thanks to people like this. Yeah. He knows what he's talking about. Seriously. Been there, done that. Somebody's treating you unfairly or martyrdom or anything like that. He knows. He's been there. We can't say, oh Lord, you don't understand. Seriously. Really? Shall we review the story of my life? Oh my goodness. This was the crowd who assisted in murdering Polycarp in a most unmerciful manner. Wow. He was the angel of the church, remember? He was the leader. Not the best one there, not the nicest one, not the strongest one, just the leader. The one answerable to God for what goes on in the church. Not the one that can control everything in the church, but the one that is answerable to God. What goes on in the church? That makes me nervous. I don't enjoy that part of my job, and I try not to think about it. Although, I do find him working through me, and even well, he told me to do something one time, and I didn't want to, because it was difficult. And so I didn't. And I was reading out of Leviticus, of all things, and it struck me that something should be done, and so I didn't. The next day, I'm still reading out of Leviticus, and he says it again. In a little different spot, but What? This is Leviticus. You don't find anything wonderful in Leviticus unless God is reading the word to you. And then on the third day, I'm reading it, and there it was again. And I said to myself, yeah, I should get on that. And he said to me, now, today. So I did. Scared me to death, didn't like it, a little messy, was fine. Turned out to be fine. Ay, ay, ay. We're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't get to protect ourselves and decide what we're going to do or not do. I mean, I'm not saying throw yourself out on the freeway, but I'm just saying we shouldn't be controlling things in our lives or in anybody else's. As far as being answerable to the church, God protects me in that. Just what I do. I probably won't die a happy man. It doesn't matter. I'm fine. Don't get me wrong. And I'm just saying, with great responsibility, with great privilege comes great responsibility. But he's got me covered all the way. I see him all the time. Working here, working there. Sometimes I go to fix something. Don't touch that. I need it to air out for a while. What? I think it all neat and tidy. Ducks in a row. Whack, 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 whack. Hey, no. It's not like that. Life is not like that. We may wonder how on earth people could on one hand be so zealous for God and on the other serve the devil so well. That's easy. Simple, really. Serve God according to your own understanding. Limit yourself to this and attend church regularly. And this will leave you fervently functioning religiously in the kingdom of self. There's one for you to choke on. Fervently functioning religiously in the kingdom of self. Don't do church. Be the church. Be the church, his body. The devil rules in the kingdom of self through the narcissistic mentality of its subjects. You take a self-centered person and they belong to the devil. I mean, they're his tool. Pick up like that. Use all the time. Boom. He has easy access. Not because he's so powerful, but because they're so self-centered. God-centered, you're fine. Self-centered, meh. Not safe at all. Don't want to go there. Whatever or whoever we subject ourselves to, whether we do it willingly or just because we're a narcissist, has authority over us. Romans 6:16 says that, do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, those servants you are to whomever you obey? Wow. We did a little thing in camp, and don't take this personally unless it applies personally. It just came into my mind, so I'm just going to say it. It's one of those awkward things I do. Anyway, at a teen co-ed camp years ago, and we had to draw out a circle for the kids that were smoking. They were like 15, 16, whatever, and they had a little circle where they smoked their cigarettes so they didn't burn the camp down. And so we were going through and talking about growing as a Christian and believers and bad habits and good habits and stuff like that. So anyway, we got a poll. Were you there that year? I think we got maybe I just described it. Anyway, I thought of a tree pole so long and paint the bottom brown or leave the bark on the bottom and then paint the rest of it white and then get some fiberglass or something over the top, make it look like smoke coming off the top. And that'll be the altar. We'll put it here in the sanctuary and it can be over there. So if you need to, actually we put it in a circle where you need to have your cigarette. Because you're not smoking that cigarette, it's smoking you. And it was a stark way of revealing an idol of what we yield ourselves to or can. And these things that we start off and how do we start, it doesn't matter, but all kinds of things, not just that, take hold of our lives and then we begin to serve them instead of God. Low self-esteem, if you don't give it to God, you'll serve it. And that will make you a servant of the people, and they'll kill you. They'll eat you alive, all the while trying to gain some self-esteem. through accomplishments and other things. We have to let God be God and preeminent in that role, in and through our lives. I'm just sort of going through these notes as I'm not in a hurry. I told you that before. I don't have a schedule. I'm here till I retire, and I don't know when that's going to be. It could be 100 years old if we were going here. It doesn't matter. I saw Major Ian Thomas at 90 years old preach the gospel with the same finesse he did when he was 60. A little bit slower. He never missed a beat. He scares me. Anyway. Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It's important to note here that the devil is not doing the testing. He is simply out to destroy believers. That's what he does. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And God decides how much of that he's allowed to do. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is out to destroy. That's it. That's all he does. But God uses that to test our faith. I was quite surprised the time I realized that Satan was really God's servant. Well, don't get me wrong, they're not friends. God is sovereign. So any plans the devil has for you have to go through God. So it's the Lord who is using these occasions, to test these believers. The Lord knows exactly how these believers and we believers are doing. He knows that. When it comes to being genuine followers, he's got all of that. He can see it. He knows it better than we know it. However, it's we who don't often realize how poorly we are at believing without us being tested. Driving home one time, looking at Mount Brenton, I lived in Chemainus, and I don't know why, I just had this sensation of faith. I was like, wow. I just so filled with faith. It's awesome. Driving down the road and I look at that mountain. And I'm not going to, you know, but if I wanted to, I could say, mountain, be removed into the sea, and you'd be there. And I just, it's great. And the next day at work, had a horrible, terrible, awful, bad day. My faith wasn't even enough to get me out of that situation. Never mind move a mountain anywhere. But God knows all of this. Probably saw me, you know, just all puffed up driving down the road and just popped my bubble. I love you, Wayne. Don't become an idiot. I love you. It's not all about you. It's all about me. Oh, yeah. Ah, God is faithful. Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. What he does. Jeremiah 11:20. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind. Jeremiah 20, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous and sees the heart and the mind. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. See, something just caught my mind, or I need to do a little sideways here. We've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Wow. So when it comes to the train station, don't stay home. Not that you need to hear it again, but you're part of the celebration. You're part of the many people gathered to hear this message. You might have a stranger come up to you after that and say, did you get any of that? Oh, yeah. Let me explain it to you. We're part of the celebration. Let me read to you Luke chapter 22. Okay, Luke 22, verses 31 to 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, says Jesus speaking. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, suggesting that it's going to fail, strengthen your brethren. Do you like to learn about failure? How are you doing with that? Is that a favorite of yours? Well, how do you expect to talk to anybody else that's failing if you've never failed? Even as a believer. Wow. Don't be afraid of it. Failing is a learning process. That's how I learn best. I got more scars and bruises in my life from doing things the wrong way. So, here's a plausible dialogue. I'll just end with this for today. A plausible dialogue. Peter, Satan has asked for you. Well, I hope you said no, Lord. He wants to sift you as wheat. Oh, I don't need any sifting, Lord. I'm fine. But I've prayed for you. That's nice, Lord. I like it when you pray for me. You did say no, didn't you? Peter, I'm faithful to you, but you're not very faithful to me yet. Your life is still all about what you think you should do for me and not what I'm about to do for you. This trial will help. After you have denied me, Peter, repented and returned, strengthen your brethren. Go tell them, Peter, concerning the fiery trials that try them. Speak to them, Peter, of how I purify my people in the fire. And if you read the Epistle of Peter, you'll see he talks about fire. Fire is a symbol of divine destruction and divine purification. Fire brings things to the melting point. And at the melting point, the dross comes to the top. We did that at Cape and Ray one time. I got a whole bunch of lead weights from the tire shop. And I took them over there and I knew what would happen. And we had this frying pan thing. This is about all we had. And we put a torch under it. And we melted all the lead. And it looked nice and shiny. And oh, look at that. And they're all kind of careful. It's hot and all that kind of stuff. So then we let it cool off. Came back the next day. And we looked at it. It's all blurry. What happened? The dross came to the top. So we heated it up again and we scraped the dross off. Shiny again. Whoa, it looks nice. And I said, you could repeat that process with lead endlessly because it's not a pure metal. And it's the same thing in our lives. We never really know what's down there in the heart until the trial brings it up and it goes, ah! Oh, I need help. Oh, perfect. It's funny. The Holy Spirit's called our helper, isn't he? Isn't that what he does? All the time. All the time. Don't be afraid. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Even in the midst of chaos and calamity and everything else, that's ours. We become afraid. He's not given us that. Don't do that. Be of good courage. Don't serve your understanding. Your understanding is about to be changed. When you're in a trial like that, guaranteed, your understanding will be changed. It will grow deeper. It will grow broader. Grace will come in like it's never done before. And suddenly you have extra grace. Not just enough for yourself, but enough for everybody else. But only if you've gone through that trial and come out differently. Lean not on your own understanding. Faith gain, how does it grow? It doesn't come through understanding, does it? Understanding comes through faith. Have faith. Go ahead. Stick your neck out. Have faith. I don't know what you're up to here, Lord, but I'm convinced you're the only one that's up to it. So let's get on with it. Unto death. Unto death. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, I want to see that one. I want to see that one. I'm liking living here. It's great. I got family and friends and all that stuff. I want to see that place. And he'll bring it to you in the chaos. He brought it to Daniel in the lion's den. He brought it to the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And he'll bring it to you. You know that. You've seen that. Remember those times. And go back there when you need to. Yeah. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence in our midst, Lord Jesus. You are awesome. Absolutely awesome. There was none like you, Lord. Neither will there ever be. You stand alone, gloriously. And yet you call us to your side. Come. Follow me. Where are we going? Never mind. You're going to be with me one day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.